Greetings. You are listening live to the Scriptures Alone Bible School here on BBS Radio. The Scriptures Alone Bible School is a Bible teaching ministry where the Scriptures alone are all authority and are taught correctly by Martin Richling. Therefore, with King James Bibles open and believing hearts, hearken now unto the words of God.
Greetings. This is Martin Richling, and the date today is January 17th, 2011. And welcome to the Scriptures Alone Bible School. I am Martin Richling, and I will be your Bible teacher for the next hour, Lord willing. And it is a joy and a pleasure to be here on BBS Radio for our first broadcast. So what I'm going to do tonight is just basically explain to you what the school is all about and what I'm trying to accomplish here in the many days ahead. You know, I noticed on BBS's Radio's website, they have several quotes as you go down through their schedule pages, and I've really come to like several of them. One, if it's not mainstream, it's on BBS Radio. And I can assure you, the things you will hear at this Scriptures Alone Bible School is not mainstream Christianity. And the next one I really enjoyed was removing fear through communication. What a great thing. Obviously, fear is a good thing. It's what gets you out of a burning building. And truly, we are going to communicate unto you the greatest thing on the earth to help remove fear of the greatest fear known to man, the King of Terrors, which the Bible calls death. We're going to help you get over that. So because truly, as Mel Gibson and all of them said in that movie Braveheart, every man dies, but not every man lives. So you really can't start enjoying life until you're ready to die. And then that third one I really enjoyed, and it's probably my favorite, where it says, don't be afraid of the truth, get into it. So that's exactly what we're going to do. Our website at the Scriptures Alone Bible School, for you if you'd like to go to it, is thescripturesalonebibleschool.net, thescripturesalonebibleschool.net. Go there, you can peruse the site, and my goal for all the listeners here at BBS is simply to get you to understand some things in a world filled with confusion when it comes a lot of times to the Bible. And that's probably because if you ask 10 preachers one question, you're going to get 10 different answers. That's normal. So let me, as we go on here, again, our website, thescripturesalonebibleschool.net, thescripturesalonebibleschool.net. It's on our program page, and I encourage all of you to go there. And you'll notice, though, that if you did try to go to some of the lessons on all authority and actually the Bible school lessons, you will see that they're password protected. And that is because I just am trying to ascertain and make sure that when you do listen to those lessons and you start going through school, because it really is school, that you are a believer. Because you really won't understand them until you first understand some things regarding that. Okay? All right. Now, let me give you just a quick little personal testimony regarding mine own self. I'm going to be reading all the time from the King James Bible. That's that old Bible with all the these and the thous that many people say, well, it's hard to understand. Actually, you're going to see as time goes on, I trust, that it's really not that hard to understand. And you will enjoy it, and it will become your great friend. You may fear it now. You may not understand it. It may be a bit confusing, but my job is before the Lord is to sit there and teach you truth, very simply. Okay, now I'm going to read you something out of the Bible. It's in Acts chapter 26 about a man named Paul, the apostle. Now, prior to being Paul, his name was called Saul of Tarsus. And do you know what he was doing prior to being Paul the Apostle? He was killing believers. Imagine that. Paul the Apostle out there murdering believers. And let's see, as he recounts something that happened to him, he was on a road to Damascus, a city called Damascus, and he was on this road. He was there for the intent to murder and put in prison more believers. But he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he reviews this encounter many years later, actually he's before a king named Agrippa, and he's standing there in shackles, in prison. He's a prisoner now. But he became a prisoner, do you know why? For preaching the Bible. He started preaching the Bible, the same things he started preaching that he was once murdering believers for. He became the greatest herald of God's grace. And he says some things to this King Agrippa, and He's recounting what the Lord told him on the road to Damascus. And watch this now in verse 17. If you do have a Bible, if not, just sit back and relax and enjoy. Acts chapter 26, verse 17. The Lord Jesus Christ says to Paul, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Now watch why he sent them to them, the nations, the other nations, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. And look at for the purpose and intent here, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. What a great thing to know, that you can know for sure in this world that your sins, your entire lifetime of sins, are all forgiven. So as the Apostle Paul had this encounter, let me tell you a little bit very briefly about myself. I really don't like talking about myself, hence the name of our school is the Scriptures Alone Bible School. But I would think you as the listener might be interested in, who is this guy teaching me? Well, you can read in our program page some things about me, but I'm going to tell you some things that aren't written there. As I was a young boy, I was raised in Chicago in a Roman Catholic family, a very strict Roman Catholic family, and we went to church all the time, and we went to all the holy days of obligation, and I was raised basically a pretty good boy. And I feared God, and I didn't want to, you know, get him angry at me and all those things. And I started, as I grew up in Chicago, started to develop in my imagination and my thoughts a view of God that I had. In other words, I viewed God clearly because of how I was being raised, the religion that was being taught to me, my parents, and even the friends in my neighborhood. Everyone I hung around with was Roman Catholic, and I started to develop this view of God. And two things I learned. One, that God was not pleased when I did wrong. I knew that for certain. And two, that when I faced him, I knew I would face him in judgment, and somehow, some way, I thought, well, you know, I'm not as bad as everybody else, and I really wanted to go to heaven when I died. I mean, I know some folks might think, well, is there a heaven? And what I'm going to try to do over the purpose of the many, many days ahead is to at least give you from the Bible's perspective what God says about many things. Now, myself, back to that story, I then went into the Marine Corps, still as a Roman Catholic, and a man asked me one day if I was saved, and shows you how naive I was. I never even understood what that meant. I asked him, saved from what? And I can remember being 18 years old, looking him square in the eyeballs, and being as innocent as I could imagine, and saying, saved from what? And he said, hell. And when he said that, of course, I became very afraid, and he pulled out a Bible, and he started to talk to me, and I became even more afraid because I didn't understand what he was telling me, but what I did understand, I didn't like. I mean, I was like, good night, nurse, this guy's telling me I'm a sinner, which I believed. I mean, I knew I had done wrong, but I went to confession, and I asked God to forgive me all the time, and I prayed, and I asked him to forgive all the bad things I've done, and but he said that was not going to help me. I was like, golly. And then he started talking about a place called hell. Well, I mean, every time if you think of the word hell, it never brings up any wonderful memories or any wonderful thoughts. And I thought, oh, man, I don't want to hear this. So it caused great fear. And then from that point forth, I was 18 years old, and I got out of the Marine Corps, went back to Chicago, became involved in law enforcement. And then as a law enforcement officer, I was still this honest, good guy, but back in the deep of my mind, I never forgot that. And I feared that book, the Bible. I feared it. I never really read the Bible. I just went to church. And so then I started exploring. I started going to different churches. I went to Episcopalian, I went to a Lutheran church, and all the different religions, and I started searching and reading for different books, and I started asking people this question and telling several preachers, hey, look, I don't want to go to hell. Can you help me? Believe me when I tell you, I did everything they told me to do. I did what this preacher said to do. This one guy said, hey, you need to ask Jesus into your heart. I did it. Well, I was still afraid. Then another preacher said, you need to get baptized. Well, I went down in some river in Virginia, and I got in the water with him, and he dunked me, and I'd already been baptized as an infant, I told him, in the Roman Catholic Church. And he said, that don't matter. You need to get in the water as an adult. So I got in, he dunked me, and the guy lost grip of me, and I started floating down the river because he said, just relax. Well, that didn't go so well. I mean, I had to then swim to shore. So that was a total debacle. And let's see, what else did they tell me? I remember some lady laying her hands on me and praying in all this language I didn't even understand. And she says, I was okay now. But I can remember then, after all of that and many other things, I still had no inner peace. I'd lay myself down at night and I said, you know, I still don't know what's going to happen to me when I die, except what I do know, it's not good. So I started to read the Bible, and this is back in maybe the 80s, and I tried. I started in Genesis. I mean, why not, right? That's where God says, you know, that's where it says in the beginning. I figured that's where every other book I've read it starts at, and I didn't understand anything, really. I understood a few things, some basics, and it just got more boring and boring, and I just couldn't even read it. And then I started listening to preachers. Well, then I kind of gave up. Then I got more involved in law enforcement. And then as I started to get involved in law enforcement, make a longer story even shorter, I'm trying, believe you me, I'm trying. I then saw so much corruption and it nauseated me. So I tried to do the right thing and I said, man, what am I going to do? I tried to go to my supervisors on the police department about the corruption. That didn't work. I tried to distance myself from it. That didn't work. So I said, I know what I'll do. I'll go tell the FBI. And they'll help me. Well, let me tell you what. That went over like a porcupine in a balloon factory. I mean, at first it went fine. And for about 6 months, I was working with them, trying to help them. And they promised me I'd never have to testify in open court. Because I sure didn't want to do that. Who wants to testify against policemen involved in organized crime? Imagine that one. Either the cops come get you or the mob comes get you. Which one is it going to be? So, and that's how serious it was. And I know I'm laughing now because it's over. And so the FBI promised, no, you don't have to testify. And then 6 months later, they broke their word. Imagine that. A government agency breaking their word. Boy, was I naive still. And they said I would have to testify. And I said, no way. I'm out of here. They said, if you don't testify, we're going to indict you on the things you told us. Well, I called their bluff. Now, let me give you some wise advice. The FBI doesn't bluff. Okay, they sure don't. So 2 years later, I was indicted on charges of organized crime. And I can remember after that happened. I can remember like it was yesterday. It was June 19th, 1996. I can remember after my attorney called me and told me I was indicted, I can remember taking the phone and throwing it through a window. And I thought, you know, now what am I going to do? But you know what? I was at the end of my rope. And, you know, I didn't fear so much that as much as I feared, you know what? I'm not the innocent little boy anymore. And here I am. How'd I ever wind up this way? A kid who just wanted to be in the Marine band gets out. Then he becomes a cop. How am I winding up facing 50 years in federal prison? What in the world? What is going on here? So you know what I did? The book I feared, I started to read it again. I tried the best I could. I was so desperate. And I didn't fear the FBI anymore, any of that. I feared God. And that if the FBI was this angry at me, and you know, when you go to court, if you ever get indicted on federal charges, let me tell you what. When you go there, you know what you're going to see on the wall? There's a sheet, and it has your charges, and it says, the United States of America versus Martin Richling. I thought, man, I am doomed. The whole country's against me. Well, I was more concerned at this point in my life that, you know, God Almighty can't be too pleased with me either. And so to make a longer story even shorter, I said, I'm going to read the Bible. And I started reading. And I can remember what that preacher many years told me. He said, just read in Romans. And I started reading in the book of Romans. And again, all I understood was bad things. But then finally, you know what I learned? I learned about the greatest love story I've ever known in my life. And I saw that the God who I had offended, he gave me his great son. And you hear all these preachers talking and everything now, and you hear all these other preachers saying this and saying that. So you know what I didn't want to do? I never grew up wanting to be a Bible teacher. When I was a young boy, I wanted to be in the Marine Band, and I practiced the euphonium as long as I could. That's what I played. It's like a small tuba. And I went into the Marine Band in Quantico, Virginia, and I did real well, and that's all I ever wanted to do. And then I got out, and then I wanted to be a policeman, and I did well at that. And now here I am going to prison, and, you know, nobody grows up wanting – I didn't want to grow up and be a Bible teacher. I mean, think of what the website I have is called, the Scriptures Alone Bible School. You see that last word, school? But I barely got out of high school. I thought I was going to be a perpetual senior. I just made it, but I got out. And it's not that I wasn't smart enough to do the classes. I just had more fun playing my horn rather than going to Spanish class and math class and history class and English class. But all's well that ends well. So then I said, you know what? I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to read the Bible for my own personal enjoyment. So I started. And in 1996, I just understood that great love story to me, that wonderful love demonstrated in time, historical time, that a man named the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. And the Bible, according to the Bible now, it says that he was dying there for me. And that all I had to do, according to God, if I wanted to be forgiven for my lifetime of sin, I just had to believe in him and trust that his blood paid for all of my sins. And the amazing thing, when I did that, that book that I feared, I now loved. That book that I didn't understand, I now understood. It's like scales fell from my eyes. And it was a joy. And then I just started reading it. And the more I read it, the more I wanted to read it. So then I was just reading it for my own personal fulfillment and enjoyment and thrill. I mean, I just loved it. It was so simple, and I got it. And then the more I read and the more I wanted to read, I realized something. I started asking preachers questions. And again, back to what I originally said, I asked those 10 preachers one question, and I got 10 different answers. And then you know what dawned on me? I said, you know what? I went into a Christian bookstore. That's what they called it, a Christian bookstore. And I saw all these books in there to help you learn the Bible. And I didn't know anything, and I was just new to learning and believing the Bible myself. And I said, do you have a book that will help me understand the Bible? And he said, and he offered all these books and all these books, and I had all these books I was going to buy. And then I said, you know what? How about if I just read the Bible? I mean, do you ever wonder that the Bible, the best-selling book of all time, and truly the least read, but still the Bible, the best-selling book, has all these books written about it? Imagine that. There's a book, and people write books about a book. It's the only book I know of where that happens. I mean, there's War and Peace, right? I don't see books about War and Peace or commentaries on War and Peace. There's just War and Peace. So I said, I'm going to read the Bible. And I started. And then I also made a little personal vow to myself and to the Lord. And I've really never told, I've told, I think, a few people this, but I said, you know what? I'm not going to talk to folks really. I'm not going to even teach the Bible or do anything until I've read it 50 times, because it was important to me, men's souls. And one thing we all have to agree with, are we not all going to die? I mean, if it's 100 years from now, I'm sure that Seth and Don and the wonderful people at BBS, I mean, they sound like young whippersnappers to me, but I don't think they're going to be around 100 years from now, and I don't think I'll make it. So that's reality. No matter what anybody believes about anything else, that's reality. And we all would have to agree with that. So let's start there. Let's start understanding that 100 years from now, Truly, it's appointed unto man once to die, and we will not be here. Okay? So as I've learned now, I've read the Bible now over 150 times, well over, cover to cover, and I still read it. So at least you can, at least from my perspective, understand from my perspective, why am I on here? Why did I want to come on BBS Radio? You know why? Because I researched and I found out that they were the world's largest. And I've always asked the Lord, I want to preach to the world. And I'm not here to preach to you to, in a sense, beat you over the head. Let me show you what I want to do, okay? Because trust me when I tell you, the Scriptures Alone Bible School exists to teach just that, the Scriptures alone. And I know this, if everyone in the world knew what I knew about this book, imagine that, well over 150 times through, and I'm not boasting, I'm just bragging on my wonderful Father in heaven who has given me the strength and the grace and the opportunity. You get locked up for 5 years in federal prison. You'll have a lot of time to read. So that was my Bible college and a chance to read and consume this great book and to see many men from all walks of life and to tell them about the same things I've learned and to see it transform their lives. Men who feared death, men who were just totally in all walks of life. You know, the great thing about federal prison, one of the great things, you know, it's like you meet all these different men. I've met drug dealers. I've met men who were scientists. I've met a Navy SEAL who will remain nameless because I don't think he'd want me to say his name. I've met men, normal guys, we would call them normal folks. All different walks of life, doctors, lawyers, judges, and everybody you can imagine. And they all had one thing in common. They either did not understand the Bible, and they didn't really want to hear it, but they all said the same thing to me. You know, when you live with people, you teach. Now, how about that? You know, if you took all the preachers out there in the world and you had them go live 24/7, 365, year after year with the people they were teaching, we'd sort out real quick who the hypocrite was now, wouldn't we? We'd find out real quick. Hey, does that guy really believe what he's preaching? Look at how he's living. When you're 24/7 with the men you're teaching, they're going to know real quick if you really believe what you're talking about. So it was the greatest place to learn to do the ministry. And so my job here in Colossians chapter 1, the Bible says there's a great thing. The Apostle Paul, who is our apostle today, the apostle to the Gentiles, he talks about this, about himself. And I just, you know, we're actually preachers today, and even believers are commanded to follow Paul. Now, that seems kind of odd. Maybe you thought we'd follow Jesus Christ. Well, Paul followed Christ, and Paul is our apostle to the nations, and God commands us to follow him. But watch this and Colossians 1, where Paul says in verse 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Imagine that. In this school, you know what I'm going to teach you? I'm going to teach you about a program that God had developed before the foundation of the world. And he hid it in himself, and he kept it secret and revealed it to the Apostle Paul. Great program. Here's part of it, verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. That just means the other nations, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, isn't that amazing? That the Lord Jesus Christ, not only what I found out from the scriptures that he died for me, but he has now come literally to live inside of me in the person of the Holy Spirit. And it's not because I'm better than anybody. In fact, I consider myself in many ways, just like Paul the Apostle, the chief of sinners. But you know what? To them who have had much forgiven, the same loveth much. I love him so much because I know how much he's forgiven. But watch verse 28 now. It says, about Christ, the hope of glory, whom we preach. So here at the Scriptures Alone Bible School, this is all an introduction. When I'm just trying to get you to understand what I'm going to try and accomplish in the days ahead, whom we preach, talking about Christ, warning every man. Notice the first thing I want to do is to warn every man. Now, this goes back to that whole thing here about love. You know, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't understand love from God's perspective, your understanding of love can very quite possibly be, and most likely is, distorted. You see, if we were in a burning building, and I was showing you the way out because of my care and concern for you, that would be a demonstration of love, would it not? Sure it would. Love comes in many different demonstrations, but one of the chief ways you can prove your love for someone, you don't even have to know them, is to warn every man. Let's say the Bible's true for the sake of argument. Let's say it's true, and it is. I say that rhetorically. I believe it is. So let's say that me and my personal beliefs, that I believe that the Bible's true, and it does indeed talk about a judgment that's coming, and that we're sinners against God are going to be cast into the lake of fire. What kind of person, since I believe that, what kind of person would I be if I did not try to warn you? Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not telling you these things because I am holier than thou. Not, contraire, Pierre. Don't even think that for one second. I am just like you. We are all breathing the same air. The same God is our creator. Okay? It is the Spirit of God, that's a small s now, that our breath, the breath, all of us have breath in and out. We breathe in and out, day in, day out. That comes from our creator. And I share that with you. I truly have concern for every listener. I think it's absolutely phenomenal that technology today, and especially, I thank God for BBS Radio, that it is an avenue by which I can freely just talk and try to help people. So understand, at least from my perspective, when I'm trying to preach and warn every man. Now, it doesn't just stop there. I'm not just going to constantly be warning you, but once you take heed to this warning, the next comes the school part, and teaching every man in all wisdom. That's then what I want to do after I warn you and show you some things out of my love and concern for all of mankind. I then would want to teach every man in all wisdom, for the purpose and intent that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And that's the results, whereunto I also labor. See that? Striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. That goes back to our great Savior, how he does do the work. He's the one who strengthens me. I mean, think about it. I still read through the Bible once a month, cover to cover. Once a month. You know, they said, I heard a preacher once say, if everybody picked up their Bibles in their house and blew the dust off of it at the same time, it would be a dust bowl. There's a lot of truth to that. I mean, I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm just laughing because, well, first of all, the scriptures say rejoice evermore. And I'm real happy to be here with you. But I want you to understand something, that the purpose of the Scriptures Alone Bible School, it exists to help you. It doesn't exist because I know where you're coming from. I know what it's like to be out there and to see the confusion. Just last night, I turned on the TV and I got to apologize to all of you. Let's say whoever you are listening and you don't believe the Bible and you're just fed up with so-called Christianity and you think it's a bunch of hocus pocus mumbo jumbo. You know what? I don't half blame you. I turn on the TV and I see some of the things I see and I can't believe it either. But I'm here to tell you that if you'll just let the Bible alone, that's why it's called the Scriptures Alone Bible School, just be your guide, you'll see that you'll be able to identify the counterfeits. And, you know, come on, let's keep it real, as they say. In this world, there's constantly going to be phonies and counterfeits, okay? All right. Now, you know that thing there about one of the great sayings of BBS Radio? It really is. It says, removing fear through communication. Let me show you two verses regarding that, okay? And again, this is introduction. So my whole purpose, go to Romans chapter 3 if you have a Bible, and then get Revelation chapter 20. Again, This is just an intro. I'm just trying to introduce myself and just try to get you an idea of what we're going to be doing here. But trust me, if you look at the program notes for every day is going to have a different topic, and they're going to be a lot more like, you know, school can be fun, believe it or not. But yet I do understand that a lot of folks, you don't have to have your Bible, but if you do go out and want to follow along in school, I highly suggest and strongly recommend that you get the King James Bible, not the New King James. Don't think the new tide washes better than the old tide, okay? Just get yourself a King James Bible, and I will show you how the these and the thous are actually there for a reason, and it's very simple. It's the one that is for the English-speaking people. It is God's book today, okay? And my job will be to help you understand it, because back to the point before I show you these two passages, don't you want to get over that fear of death, don't you? I mean, how can you really live? You know, I saw these this one preacher one time. He always was talking about preaching and preaching, and then all of a sudden the guy, I guess he was having a heart attack or he had a big chest pain. I saw this in person. And then he started to panic. And I wasn't a believer at the time. I was a policeman, but we were, you know, doing an event, and they had this religious event, and we were guarding it, I guess, you know, for crowd control. And the man, he started grabbing his chest, and I could see the look of panic on his face. And then a policeman next to me, the ambulance came, and he was okay, I guess. I mean, I don't really know what happened to him, but he definitely was panicking. Now, you know, being a policeman, I can gauge some things about people, and he was nervous. And I thought to myself, and I asked the policeman next to me, I go, wasn't he just talking about going to heaven? And the other policeman said, yeah, he was. I said, well, what is he so nervous for? I mean, isn't there a process to get there? And I mean, truly, obviously what he was saying, I don't know how much he really believed it when it came to him. Okay, so let's all try to go through this together and face the fact that as time goes on, every day we get older and our bodies start to decay. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, it says in verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. And when we find that verse, as we're going to see, we're going to go through it very methodically, verse after verse, okay? But this verse where you find in the context is some things from God in heaven that he's telling you, that's not good, man. Listen to me, all of mankind. It is not good that you don't fear God. And this is why. God has eternal power and God had authority over us. And we are going to face him in judgment. And truly, we have broken. See, you got to be able to laugh at yourself, huh? We have broken. See, breaking's a new word I just invented. It's a combination of break and broke. It's breaking. I guess it could be breaking, ing, but not the way I just said it. We have broken his laws. We have broken God's laws. That is not good. That is very serious. Okay? And look, let me read you the event that I think, let's go back, the book of Revelation. Now, I know a lot of people don't like it. Uh-oh. Revelation, that means things that are coming. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Now, think about this, and let's say it's true. Let's just look at it and listen to it that it is true. Verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. That day's coming, dear listener, it is. Dead people one day will stand before God, small and great. It doesn't matter if you're a prince or a punk, a pauper, or the president. You're going to stand before God. And the books were opened. God knows everything you ever done, said, or thought about doing. And another book was opened, singular, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now, I think most folks know there's going to be some kind of judgment. In fact, most religions of the world teach that there's going to be some kind of judgment. But I'm here to tell you, after so many times through the Bible, this judgment here, it's not a guilt or innocent trial, okay? It's not a judgment to determine if your good deeds outweigh your bad. That's not what it's about. Nope. It's a judgment that will sentence you for a lifetime of breaking God's laws, a lifetime of sins against Him. And all it takes is one sin. And look at verse 15. If you don't have a Bible, listen. Watch how simple this is. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now you're thinking, why are you telling me this? I can't believe this guy. I mean, he's here on the radio. His first time, he's telling me that if my name isn't written in the book of life, I'm going to be cast into the lake of fire. It goes back to what I said earlier. Look, it is my love for you that I'm trying to warn you. If that verse is true, and it is, what kind of person would I be? See, I believe that verse. That verse applied to me one time, and I know, according to the Bible, that I was going to be cast into the lake of fire. Now, let's deal with something here, because it should be said right about now, and it is very important. Maybe several who are listening don't believe the Bible. That's okay. One thing I will never do to any of you, and I promise you this from the get-go, I will always give you total free will choice. I will allow your free will to function. I mean, you already have it. When I say give it to you, I don't mean as if you don't possess it. You already do. But I will allow you that freedom. All you have to do is say, I don't believe that, and I'll say, okay. It won't bother me one bit if you don't believe anything I tell you. It doesn't. I'm preaching here not to please you. Now, isn't it odd? It seems kind of contradictory, doesn't it? It seems like I thought you were doing just trying to warn me because you love me. Yes, that's absolutely true. But if you look in, there's a passage in Scriptures in 1 Thessalonians says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. You see, God has allowed me to continue to live on his planet and to be put in trust with the gospel. That great gospel. Gospel means glad tidings of good things. Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. You see, I have to please my heavenly Father. That I want to. I live for that. I live for a man named Jesus. Now, they're two separate people. God is the Creator and He's the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ, He's my Savior and my King. And I live for them both. Truly, I do. And as living for them, I speak. I've been put in trust with God's gospel, and I speak, but it's not going to be pleasing sometimes unto the listeners. But God, which trieth our hearts, God's going to try my heart. He tests it day in, day out. There's a day coming where I'll have to give account. And it says, for neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know. I'm not going to flatter you, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. I'm not going to do anything phony. I simply want to talk to you about the inevitable reality of your death. And I do know this, that if that verse is true, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, if that's true, and it is, then that means that is the most serious verse of Scripture you could ever dwell upon and think. Think about that for a moment. The lake of fire. You know, in the Scriptures, the lake of fire is the sun itself. Now, can you imagine being tossed into the sun? Well, I've heard people object and say, well, God would never do that to his children. What kind of God is this? They're right. God won't do that to his children. He does it to people who are not his children, because even though we are all created by him, that doesn't make you his child spiritually. Something has to take place in your life. It's called salvation, and that will be explained in the Lord willing lessons ahead, okay? But I do encourage, if you'd like to get kind of a head start in school, you know, kind of get like a little ahead of the rest of the class, if you go to our website, thescripturesalonebibleschool.net, there on one of the pages there, it's called one of the buttons on the site, it is called salvation. And that is where I encourage all of you in the privacy of your own home to go to listen to that, to read first what it says. And if you go to the bottom of the page, it's not that long, you will see there is a little audio message called salvation and what you must do. And I do encourage you strongly. It's just under an hour. And I'm sure, you know, we're all busy, but you're not too busy, are you, to listen to that message? So, all right, let's go on with something else now. So, that's what I'm trying to do, and I'm telling you that as before the Lord and as honestly as I can and as simply as I can. I am not a man of fancy speech. I'm a man of the Word of God, and I believe this book, okay, and I simply just want to teach it to you all. So, the Scriptures Alone Bible School exists for the purpose, never forget it, to help you. But you know what? If you don't believe, I can't help you. That goes back to your free will. It matters not to me, truly I mean this, it doesn't matter to me if you believe what's being said. Now, that seems kind of uncaring, doesn't it? No, it's not. And what I mean by that, you have free will choice. But I do believe in a world filled with confusion and every other perspective on the spiritual and the life hereafter that exists. Can I too have a say? Can I too have a say representing God's book properly from at least the perspective of someone who's read it 150 plus times and still reads it? You see? So at least give an honest hearing. And then after hearing, if you choose to reject it, well, that's okay. That's okay. But let's look at the outcome of that. Let's say I'm wrong, which I'm not, but let's say I am. What's going to happen to you when you die? Well, then whatever you thought was going to happen, I guess will happen, or whatever. Okay, that's going to continue to go on. But let's say the Bible's right. Can you really afford to take that chance? You see that? And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That verse isn't hard to understand. You know, as Mark Twain said, you know, the parts of the Bible I don't understand, but it's the parts that I do understand that bother me. All right? I understand that there, what he said. So the verse is very simple. And it's the Word of God. Now, if you don't believe the Bible's from God, that's okay too. Let me ask you, what answer do you have for death? Do you have a concrete answer? Do you know for sure that the moment your eyes close in death, that you'll be instantly in heaven with God Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ and all the angels and the wonderful people that you've heard about, like Noah, King David, Samuel, Adam and Eve? Hey, you can ask them, hey, what'd you guys do that in the garden for and mess things up? There's your chance. Or would you rather go to the alternative with Satan and all of his demons and everyone else who rejects God's book? You know, there is heaven and there is a hell, and hell one day will be cast into the lake of fire. Hell is not the lake of fire. Hell's in the center of the earth. We'll see that this week as we talk about it. But you know what? There is a lake of fire and there is a heaven. Can you afford that risk? Can you? I mean, you should never gamble unless you can afford to lose what you're gambling. And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? How much is your soul worth to you? Now, wouldn't you like to know for certain that all of your sins were forgiven and that your entire lifetime of sin was taken care of, was pardoned, and you don't have to fear death. Well, that's why we're here. The Scriptures Alone Bible School. So I want to close here on some couple things here I want to talk to you about and some things to think of. Tomorrow in our Lord willing class we're going to have is the Bible true? Okay, is the Bible true? And I'm going to kind of prep you for it. I want to go backwards in a sense. You see? Go to Hebrews chapter 11 if you have a Bible. Hebrews chapter 11. Because as we start to look at it, all is going to boil down to what you believe about this book I'm reading you. You see? Because where's authority today? Where is it? Well, it's not in me. Don't trust me. Okay? Where does authority exist? Where does all authority reside? You see, there has to be something and somewhere you can go. If you look in Hebrews chapter 11, I want to show you something about faith. Now, everybody listening, I am certain, has faith, right? If you buy a can of green beans in the store and the label says green beans, isn't that faith? I mean, you believe that what's inside the can is beans. You can't see what's inside, and you believe the label, all right? It's a small illustration, but you get the point. Hebrews chapter 11 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Your faith is going to only be as good as what or whom you place it in. Okay? I'll say that again. Your faith, I mean, you believe something. Now ask yourself, are you placing your faith in? I'm going to try to do all I can, I'm telling you right up front, to persuade you and to warn you and to just really beg you on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ to place your faith in this King James Bible. Okay, don't question it. Don't doubt it. Come on, there's enough people out there attacking it. You should be smarter than that. The Bible's been around all these years. It was here before you were born. It's going to be there after you die. And you know what? People say, I don't believe the Bible. That's okay. When you read that verse, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, you don't have to believe that verse. It will still take place. People think because they don't believe the Bible that it's going to change the Bible. And all you'd have to do is go to a bookstore, open a Bible, okay? Read Revelation 20, verse 15 in the King James Bible. It'll say, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, and stare at it and say, I don't believe that, and look at it again. It didn't change, did it? Say it louder. I don't believe that. It still didn't change. You can burn that Bible. It's still, there's Bibles all over the world that say it. Your unbelief in the Scriptures will never alter the truths they contain. Okay? So in Hebrews 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Your faith is only going to be as good as who or what you place it in. Because remember, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's impossible. You see, God wants to be believed. Do you understand? He wants to be believed. He has left us a book. And I do feel sorry for so many people today in the world because there's so many preachers and teachers out there that are just literally confusing the issue. You know, I'm here to tell you, you don't have to believe me, but it's the truth. Many and most preachers, they don't really read the Bible. They read books about the Bible, and they get up there and talk to you, but they won't show you verses. They won't teach you the Bible simply. And what we're going to do after this week is we're going to begin just that. I'm going to always be bringing forth messages that are straight, strictly from the Scriptures. Everything I say will be from the Scriptures. If you have a Bible question, I encourage you in the beginning, I realize that we can call into BBS Radio, and perhaps in the future I will take those calls. But understand that I'm also commanded by God, my Father, to say, it says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. I'm not saying that all the questions would be unlearned or foolish. But, hey, how am I going to screen that? And I'm commanded to redeem the time, because the days are evil. So let me first get some teaching. But if you do have a question, you know, my phone number, it's right on the website, 812-725-5544. There you go, world. Give it a call. Or you can email me at akjvtruth@yahoo.com. That's my email. It doesn't go to some big company. It goes right to me. Nobody else gets it but me. Okay? It's on our website. And so is my phone number. Or if you'd like to use snail mail, you can even write me a letter. But if you have a Bible question, I will give you the Bible answer. Okay? So I want to leave you with a couple thoughts here as we're winding down here in the program. There was a man, the Lord Jesus Christ told a story about a man when he was here on the earth in the book of Luke. Now, we all have to agree, just through the rules of evidence, that the Lord Jesus Christ existed. I mean, I can go in any courtroom in the land and prove that he was seen by all these witnesses. And in Luke chapter 16, he tells a story about a man. Now understand, this man wasn't in trouble because he was rich. He was in trouble because of other things. But in Luke 16, look at verse 19, it says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Okay? Now, like I said, if I believe that, and I do, and if the Bible's true, and it is, then I have to warn you. Okay? So you see, as this beautiful music, this hymn, by the way, is on our website. It is called A Mighty Fortress is Our God. And I want the God of heaven and earth to become your fortress. But that's only going to be through His Son. God's made it that way. Okay? So you check out our website, thescripturesalonebibleschool.net, thescripturesalonebibleschool.net, and if you're really interested in learning the Bible once and for all the correct way, take it from a man whose only intention was to learn God's book so that he could help others now. And I love God, my Father, and I love the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe it or not, I love you, the listener, more than you'll ever know. Because I'm taking God's book and sharing it with you. Okay? Well, thank you so much for your time. I count it a privilege to teach you and to help you. So until tomorrow, Lord willing, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read and listen to this great hymn. Farewell.